Smart Girl Tribe is the UK's number one female empowerment organisation. Through the Smart Girls Handbook, the Smart Girl Summits, and this very podcast, we help women design a life and business they love. If you are looking to connect with other women or learn about boundaries, following your passion, building a business, navigating heartbreak, coping with mental health issues, among other topics, this is the destination for you. I'm Scarlett V. Clark, your host. Twice a month, I interview thought leaders and game changers to have honest conversations about womanhood for you to redefine your impossible. Welcome to the new season of the podcast. I am so excited to be back because it really has been a hot minute. It has been 6 months. The first thing I really need to say is thank you. I and the team, we haven't promoted the podcast since March. I haven't uploaded any episode, and yet I logged in to prep for this episode, and lo and behold, there are 30,000 downloads. And I just can't believe that, having had a break in the background, you have been listening, and to that extent, so much since I last checked. So a huge, huge thank you. I never expected I would be taking a break for that long, but I heard a quote years ago which really resonated with me. It is a quote that stuck with me: you can't be half pregnant, which is so true. And back in March, I was touring for my debut book, The Smart Girls Handbook, and during that time, it was a struggle to be recording and consistently, and also delivering the podcast, because I obviously want to serve you with excellence and knew I couldn't do that while I was book touring and just being constantly on the move. So I really needed to take a hiatus. I'm so happy now to be back and to share that we are back officially. And because, let's be honest, we are all friends here, I really thought that the first episode of the new season should be a catch-up. It should be a life update. I have recorded similar episodes to this before. I have opened up on the podcast about the operation I had last year, my breakup, losing my best friend, and having listened to your feedback, you love those episodes. So I really thought a solo episode would be the best place to start. This year, a huge focus for Smart Girl Tribe has been the book tour, and it has been incredible. The first book tour stop this year was at Waterstones in Tottenham Court Road, because the Smart Girls Handbook was selected as UN Women's Book of the Month. And since then, I have toured across several countries. The book was also chosen as Waterstones Edinburgh's International Women's Day read, so I went up there. It was chosen as Waterstones Kensington's mental health book, so I stopped there in May. And in between the UK stops, I have toured. I have been in France, Austria, Switzerland, and then Scotland and England. So you get the idea. The book tour was consistent until the end of July this year. So that would have been 1 year book touring, from July 2022 to July 2023. So much so that in June, I had a tour stop every day, including Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully you can see how challenging it would have been for me to keep up with the podcast. Two highlights have definitely been speaking at Bath Festival and also speaking at Essex Book Festival. If you are new here, you might not know that I went to university in Bath, so that was a huge full circle moment back in May. It was really weird as well. Former professors of mine attended, my friends from university attended. It was such a surreal moment because I started Smart Girl Tribe my first year at university from a dorm room with no money, no contacts, no network. And here I was being invited to speak at this massive book festival. Bath is always going to be such a special place for me. It's where it all started. And I find it funny when I'm there because obviously I see the restaurants I would go to with my friends, the coffee shops I would study in with my friends. I just have so many amazing memories from that time. So it was really lovely going back and almost just patting the younger me inside me on the back, because there were so many times people didn't believe in me during that time or the business. And if you have read the book, you'll know that my best friend infamously told me that seeing me do so much was making her feel as though she wasn't doing enough. And that happened at university. Equally, if you have been to Bath, you'll know how small the centre is. You cannot miss the Abbey. That is where I graduated. So to go back in such a different way was really magical. And it also made me think a lot about what my future self would say if she were looking back at my life now. Since March, I have also been invited, and I have accepted, to be the Albright Meets host. Albright is a private members group for professional women in London. In February, they invited me on their Galentine's panel, and the feedback from members was so lovely that I was invited back, and then the same thing happened. So I was invited back again, and then they invited me to be the host. That has been a really wonderful position to uphold. So that's been going on. And for that reason and many other reasons, I am now based in West London, which has been a huge change. I grew up really dreaming of living in London, and to have moved here in my 20s is such an accomplishment. But again, that was during the book tour. There's not a huge amount to say there. It has led to the greatest 6 months. I keep referring to it as my Sex in the City year, being so central. And not only that, but through the move alone, I have met a lot of new people, and I have really made some best friends genuinely for life. And I think everyone can agree that making friends as you get older is hard. So to have made friends last year in Paris, and now to have made so many new friends in London, I'm just feeling really grateful. However, talking about struggles, one struggle this year I have found has, for me, has been imposter syndrome. I would love to know if you have experienced the same, because I don't think it's a topic we are discussing enough. Getting imposter syndrome after having accomplished your goal or goals. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and I described it that this is really the first time in my life I've had to grieve the person I was. Just going back to Bath, when I was a student, quite rightly, there was a lot of hustle in me. I snuck into an event the editor of Cosmopolitan was hosting, and that's how I started writing for Cosmopolitan. And I also snuck into London Fashion Week, and that's how I found myself there. There was just a lot of hustle, and now it's a beautiful thing, but also a very strange thing when everything almost settles and you kind of wake up and have that someday moment. You go a long time when you're young thinking someday, you know, especially as a teenager, and then it's here and you're living it, to be working so hard towards something. And then you wake up and realize that you're living the life not only that you dreamt about, but that you worked so damn hard for. It's a lot. And two wild things happened this summer, which made me laugh, but both situations definitely gave me that feeling of being an imposter. I have been recognized before, but usually it will be because I've been on television recently or I've spoken in that city recently. But this summer, I would have said quite randomly, I was chased, you guys. I was chased through the airport as I was getting on a plane by a group of girls because they wanted a photo with me. And that's just crazy to me. And the second thing that I found really funny was I was invited to the opening of the Chelsea and Kensington Festival and someone recognised me from the podcast. How does someone recognise you from a podcast? I just thought those two things happening so close of one another. And then when I was in Austria, there was a group of girls that came up to me after speaking and people crying. It does happen quite frequently and I'm used to it now, but this group of girls came up to me after and they were in floods of tears. And I would just love to hear from you if you have ever got to the point where your goals are happening or you've accomplished them or you've reached your someday, and then it's then that you start experiencing imposter syndrome as opposed to when you're starting out. I have been journaling a lot about this because it's quite an unsettling feeling, living the dreamy life you've worked so hard for, but at the same time feeling that you are living in a dream, that it's not quite real and that you're not necessarily the one who should be living this life. Now, this isn't an episode about imposter syndrome, so I don't want to make it that, but if you are going through this, I mean, something that's helped me is writing affirmations, telling yourself over and over that you are fully deserving of where you are, and reminding yourself that you have worked really hard for this life because, as women, it's not a shock, we don't give ourselves enough credit. Now, of course, since March, you guys know I love traveling. I have been traveling and focusing on new projects, on which, being in October, we're launching the new season. This is it. And I do have to add, this is the last season where the podcast is going to look as it does now, because some really, really exciting changes are coming. This month, we also held our first business breakfast with the NED, and that was wonderful. And I'm organising something really special for female entrepreneurs. I will announce it first on Instagram and then on the podcast, so head on over to Instagram to and keep an eye out for that. And alongside all of the above, I have loved the Beckham documentary. That's the thing that I've been watching at the moment. If you are an entrepreneur or a business owner, there is so much to take away from it. The documentary really focuses on his professionalism, his resilience, his ability to stand back up. And everyone is going to be taking away different things from the doc. But for me personally, as a founder, I have loved the emphasis on the mental ability and strength required to succeed. The book I have read most recently is Glossy. This is very new. I think it only came out maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it puts a spotlight on Emily Wise's career. Emily is the founder of Glossier, the beauty brand, and it's a book I would recommend for different reasons. The book focuses, it's not written by her, but it focuses on the moves she took to build her business and brand so quickly and the behind the scenes of it all. In the Beckham documentary, I will say there is a focus on his relationship with Victoria, and being a Spice Girls fan, I loved every single second she was on screen, and she does not hold back. She talks about the tough times in her marriage, but that is something that you don't get from the Glossy book. There isn't much on Emily's personal life, because as I was reading, I discovered she doesn't like to talk about it so much. And because of that, there aren't many reports or interviews on her personal life. I would still recommend it, but if you do want to be inspired by a power couple or have a desire to be in one yourself, absolutely watch Beckham on Netflix. Outside of those, this year I took a massive leap, a huge step. It has been scary, at times disconcerting. I got my hair cut, and not a trim, I got the chop. I have never had shoulder length hair before, and I really wanted to change because, you know me, I'm always aligning myself with the woman I want to be, my future self, and so much in my life has changed this year. Not drastic things, but a series of movements outside of moving to London, just joining clubs, running 5Ks regularly. I mean, I was never a runner, and I'm not much of a runner now, I would say, but I'm doing that, you know, 3 times a week. And with the business taking off in this way, I have never been before invited to so many events, and it just feels like a whole new season in my life. So I wanted to mark it. I went to the hairdressers and I literally said, I put all of my faith in him. I said, I would like something sharp and sexy. This is the hairstyle he has created. The inspiration, because we talked through it, was Reese Witherspoon and Ana de Armas and James Bond. And I love it. And I also feel like I should take a moment to thank you for sending me messages on Instagram saying that you love it too. I really love this new haircut of mine, and it has led to some really different fashion choices for me, because I've never had shoulder length hair. I've always had my long hair, so I'm really enjoying that. And coming back to the main focus of this episode, I want to talk about productivity, because both personally and professionally, I'm really settled in the life I'm leading, and it's a dreamy life. But when I break it down, people think that I almost have superpowers to be able to get so much done, or people will remind me that not everyone is a business owner and can create their own hours or manage their own hours. But being a business owner, I still don't have the hours all the time, but I have structured my life in a way, particularly this year, so I can stay on top of things in a really healthy and productive way, from exercising to eating right to growing the business and traveling to having a social life and just everything in between all of that. First thing is work out when you are most productive. My family makes fun of me for this a lot. When I was little, I would go to nursery, and when my mum would pick me up at 3, I would fall asleep in the car straight away. So much so, the teacher started talking to my parents, and my parents were becoming worried about me going to school. They didn't know how I would cope with having to stay past 3. And honestly, it's as though nothing has changed. I'm such a morning person. I'm like a child in that sense. When the sun is up, I am up. I get my best work done in the morning. I do my 5-5-5 rule every morning, and you'll know what that is if you have read the book. I go for my 5K then, I reply to all emails, and then I also get the main task of the day or project done in the morning. So work out when you're most productive and work around that. Because I am like that, I go to bed fairly early, or earlier than most at my age. I sleep with an eye mask, and I also sleep with a sleep spray, because I know that if I don't sleep, the day is almost wasted because I'm my most productive in the morning. The second thing I would recommend is to write a to-do list and a success list. This is fairly new for me and only something I started doing this year. If you haven't read the book, The One Thing, it is incredible. And the message behind the book, or at least one of the main takeaways, is that you should spend 4 hours of uninterrupted time on your one thing every day. It doesn't matter when those 4 hours are. Every morning I write my to-do list, so the mundane tasks usually I have to get done, because hashtag adulting. And then I also write my success list, so a breakdown of the 4 hours and how I'm spending those 4 hours on my one thing. You have to ask yourself, are you working for the dream or on the dream? What I mean by that is, if you're working for the dream, you are doing the bits which guaranteed are important. You're staying busy, you're going to networking events, you're reaching out to people in similar industries on social media, you're doing the admin required, you're doing the reading, the visualizing, the manifesting, and you're also journaling. but you're not making the big moves. You are almost working around the dream under the impression that you are working on the dream. If you're working on the dream, that's the scary stuff. It's actually writing the book, not just reaching out to agents. It is organizing a wedding for your wedding planning company, not just registering your business name, because all of that work, that's where the magic happens, and that is where you're going to start seeing shifts. You know, don't just Google how many calories are in something, actually plan your meals ahead of time. If your goal is to lose weight, don't just be busy, match your actions to your words, change the content you are consuming, change the food you are eating, change the time you're getting up. You don't have to do everything at once, just slowly, bit by bit, breath by breath. One thing I would also say that has helped me get so much done in one day is I write letters to myself in my journal, but with future dates. So, I mean, this was only a few evenings ago. I wrote a letter to myself in my journal dated the 31st of December, 2023. Every year, my family hosts a big January 1st dinner party. So New Year's Day dinner party. And it's honestly the most inspiring, beautiful, empowering dinner. Attendance is mandatory, but I go voluntarily. I love it. It's my dad's favorite meal of the year. And so much effort goes into this dinner party. So I started thinking, what would I want to say at that meal about this year? What would I want to say on New Year's Eve this year? And I'm not just talking about career accomplishments. Of course, they're important, but everything in between. Do I want to sit there feeling like my best self? And if so, what would it take to feel like that? Do I want to sit there and share that I have been running 5K three times a week for months? Do I want to sit there having really got on top of my reading and made a conscious effort to read more? Do I want to sit there and talk about my book tour? This, for me at least, is such a soul-nourishing way to work backwards and to lean into the version of me I'm working towards. I'm thrilled to be back. Come over to Instagram at Smart Girl Tribe and let me know what you thought of this episode and your main takeaway. Thank you for listening to the Smart Girl Tribe podcast. You are my community, my family. So for more motivation and inspiration, I'd love for you to join the Smart Girl Tribe Society on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Smart Girl Tribe, and head to smartgirltribe.com to find out about our next event. Please do subscribe and rate the show. It's the fastest way you can help us help you. Until next time.